Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com, for faith, fellowship, and love. What are you doing this Lent? The St. Paul Center is streaming their newest video Bible study for free, starting Ash Wednesday. Based on Scott Hahn's renowned covenantal theology, this is a study no one should miss. Invite your friends, Catholic or not. Don't miss your chance to see this premium study for free. Go to stpaulcenter.com to sign up today. Do you wish you knew the saints better? Overwhelmed with all the events in Catholic history and just wish you could tie it all together? It's tough work, and even scientists have determined that it takes approximately 400 repetitions to create a new synapse in the brain. Unless it is done with play, in which case it takes between 10 and 20 repetitions. Introducing Saint Cards, where the facts about saints and history are presented in fun and engaging games for ages 4 to 104. Check out Saint Cards at saintcards.com and begin the fun for your family, school, and parish today.
When Jesus called the first apostles, who were fishermen, he promised that if they followed him, he would change and transform them, beginning with how they fish. Jesus didn't promise to make them smarter, healthier, or wealthier. He didn't promise to make them more popular or better looking. He didn't even suggest that they would be holier. That wasn't part of his promise. Jesus told his first friends and followers that if they followed him, he would make them fishers of men. He would teach them how to use the same skill, patience, and determination they used as professional fishermen to bring people into a relationship with him. Same for us. Jesus invites us to engage people with the truth that is the gospel. Following Jesus long enough and closely enough will bring you into a relationship with him, a relationship that you will want to share with others. In theology, this is called evangelization. We hear that word, evangelization, and perhaps we think of a certain denomination of conservative Christians. Instead of a basic exercise for all Christians, an exercise that calls us into a mission field in our own backyard. We have opportunities all around us, all the time, to bring people to Christ. Unfortunately, since we don't have a history of it, we tend to think of sharing our faith as unnecessary, or perhaps even impolite or inappropriate. So over the course of this current series, we've been trying to dispel that perspective by underscoring two truths. First truth, the most loving way to love others is to share Christ with them. Second truth, sharing our faith is a crucial, critical part of growing deeper in our faith. And our strategy is as simple as can be. We call it invest and invite. Invest and invite. As you go through your day or your week, you're on the lookout for friends and family members, classmates or coworkers who don't have a relationship with Christ. Not really. And they're not hard to find. And then invest in them through prayer, of course, maybe some simple form of fasting, through kindness and encouragement. Invest in them in the same way that you would invest in any relationship that's important to you. Then, when appropriate, invite them to come to church. And we said that we're not sending you out there all alone and on your own. We want to be fishing partners. Everybody who works here, our staff, our member ministers see themselves as fishing partners with you. And that's why we invest time and resources in the music and the message, the hospitality, the technology, really everything we do here. If you go to the effort to invite someone to church and they actually show up, we promise you, no matter the weekend, no matter what, our staff and member ministers will be working hard, bringing their best to make sure your guest has a great experience. So over the course of this series, we've been asking you to commit to impacting just one other person. And when the opportunity presents itself, invite them to join us. Invite them to join us for our Lenten series, which starts next week and is going to be an amazing series for anyone who's new to the church scene or for someone who's back for the first time in a long time. This is a series that's designed for them. Use one of our invitation cards that you can pick up on your way out or go to our website and send them an electronic invitation. Think about it. Last week, we looked at the main reason, probably, that we invite people into a relationship with Christ, and it's simple. He's the only person who ever lived who rose from the dead. He's the only person who ever lived who rose from the dead. And the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to anyone who has a relationship with him. We invite people into a relationship with Christ because he has the power of life. He has the power to raise to life that which is dead. Dead dreams, dead relationships, dead ends. Christ brings life. Today we're wrapping up the series. By the way, if you've missed any or all of it, you can catch up online, go to our homepage, and then messages, and then past messages, they're all there and available on demand. Also, sending that link to others is also an easy way to share the message. And to wrap up, we're going to look at three personal benefits to joining Jesus in that fishing expedition. Why it's personally worthwhile to invest in evangelization. And to help us out, we're taking a look at a portion of Luke's gospel that is traditionally called the Sermon on the Plain, as opposed to the Sermon on the Mount, which we find in Matthew's gospel. This is the Sermon on the Plain. And Jesus' message in this sermon is an incredibly challenging one about loving our enemies and doing good to those who hate us. In fact, he urges us to pray for our enemies. Why in the world would we do that? He tells us, love your enemies and do good to them and lend expecting nothing back. Then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High. For he himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Why do it? Because there's rewards in it for us. And the reward, the best reward of all is that we get to become more like our Father in heaven. You know, God loves people who are far from him and can do nothing for him. He didn't wait for us to clean up our act before he sent his Son to save us. And a good thing, too, because that would have been a long wait. We invest and invite in others because it's a reminder to us of what God has already done for us. Investing and inviting reminds us of God's mercy and compassion. When we take time to invest and invite, it changes us. It changes our heart. It renews and reforms our heart with God's own compassion and mercy. Jesus goes on. He says, stop judging and you will not be judged. Stop condemning and you will not be condemned. When we care enough about the people around us to subtly or not so subtly take time to share Christ with them, to help them step into a relationship with the Lord, or at least take a step closer to a relationship, it's an anecdote. It's an anecdote to the critical, cynical, judgmental attitudes our human nature is prone to, which is a value in itself for sure, since there can be no place in a life well lived for cynicism and judgmental values. But there's more to it than that. Take a look. Give, and gifts will be given to you. A good measure packed together, shaken down, and overflowing will be poured into your lap. For the measure with which you measure will in return be measured to you. So he uses this image that would have been entirely familiar to first century listeners. Going to the market to buy dry goods such as grain or beans, you would place your purchases in the pockets of your robes because there were no grocery bags. So he's suggesting a scenario in which you're able to purchase the maximum amount that you can possibly take on. Pretty nice situation to be in, right? Well, he's saying giving is like that. Give, and it will be given to you in return. Giving to others always opens us to receive more blessings. And this is true in every aspect of life. And all our experience teaches us this. It's true when it comes to friendship and finances, business and investment, research and development, education, hospitality, anything and everything, including your faith. Until I am willing to give it away to others, my faith will remain stifled and stunted. When I do give it away, that's when it starts to grow. That's when it can take off. You know, there are basically three modes or approaches to life. The first mode we typically call survival mode. Survival. This is where I live my life to get through my life and to get through whatever I need to get through. I just want to do my job, pay my bills, put food on the table, roof over my head, and maybe a little bit of fun at the end of the day. Survival is important for sure, and everything in us aspires to it. But even so, it's not our greatest good. It's not as good, for instance, as the second mode of living, which we could call success. In the success mode, I want more. I want to be a high achiever, a high flyer in whatever field I choose or area of life that I deem important. Success can be about many things. It can be about a career or business endeavor, making a name for myself, climbing the ladder, playing at the top of my game. It can be about the respect and appreciation of the world, or honor and recognition here at home among my colleagues and peers. It might be money, awards, accolades, the freedom to do whatever I want to do, an early and active retirement. Success can be many things, and it's certainly better than just surviving. But there's still an even higher mode of living, which we could call significance. Significance, looking to live a life of significance. This is where I look to have an impact for grace and goodness on the people I know and the world around me. We exist to impact and influence the lives of others. Survival and success, they're important. Considering the alternatives, they're more than important. They're good, they're aspirational values, but they don't have, at the end of the day, they don't have the depth and breadth. They don't have the lasting value, perhaps even the internal value of significance. Think about it this way. Suppose tomorrow morning, the CEO of your company or the head of your organization calls you in, and he or she says to you, "What is most important about this organization is the maintenance of the status quo." Or they say to you, "The reason you work here is to make me look good. Your job is all about advancing my career. Or they say to you, the mission and purpose of this organization, the values that guide our efforts, are all about the impact we're having on the community and the difference you're making beyond this organization in people's lives. Which remarks would you prefer to hear? We all have an instinct for survival. Many of us have the drive and ambition for success. But do we always and everywhere have the motivation and inspiration for significance? We should. We should because we flourish and grow when connected to something beyond ourselves, something that transcends our needs and wants, our desires and demands, our instinct for survival, our ambition for success. And as Christ followers, we have such a hardwired connection. We already have it. Because we've been given the most important message of all, the most important message ever. God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. We haven't been given this message because we're special or we deserved it. We're not. We don't. We don't have it and hold it to hold it in a holy huddle of church people. We have it to share it. Sharing it brings profound significance and value and meaning to the lives of others. But here's the point. It also brings profound significance and meaning and value to our lives too. I've seen this in my own life. I've seen this in the lives and experience of many of you. And I've seen it writ large in the culture of this parish as it has developed and changed and grown. A church community that is fundamentally not only all about itself. You know, we travel often these days for our rebuilt books. This past week, for instance, we were in Barcelona, Spain. I know, Barcelona in February, it's a sacrifice, but somebody's got to make it. We traveled there at the invitation of church leaders. Church leaders brought us there because they wanted to know what's different here. They wanted to know what's the silver bullet, what's the secret sauce. And I think I disappointed them because I told them exactly what I tell church leaders everywhere we speak. Here's the secret. It's not about the people in the pews. It's not about the people in the pews. It's about getting the people in the pews up out of the pews and making it all about the people not yet in the pews. That's the secret. And to underscore our commitment to reaching our community, this spring we're undertaking the completion of our balcony here in our new church. We're adding 500 seats. 500 seats. How crazy is that? It's kind of crazy thing to do in the current climate of crisis in the church. Kind of crazy thing to do with churches everywhere across the country and around the world twinning and downsizing and closing. Kind of crazy, unless, of course, you join us in our fishing expedition. Because we need you to fill those seats. And to underscore your commitment to at least give it a try, we're inviting you after Mass today to join us up in the balcony. For the very first time ever today, the balcony will be open. So it's definitely worth a trip up there, if only out of curiosity. But there on the unfinished floor of the balcony, we're also inviting you to write the name or the names of the unchurched people you're inviting or considering inviting to fill those seats. And those names will stay there. Of course, they'll be covered by carpet eventually, but those names will stay there in perpetuity. Think about it. Jesus' resurrection introduces us to a whole new level of living. with possibilities and potentials that change everything. That's why we invite others to know him, because we want them to know that. It's not about religion. Jesus isn't some kind of expert in religion. He's an expert on life and every aspect of it. When we're talking about fishing, we're not talking about religion. We're not talking about introducing people to a religion. We're talking about introducing them into a relationship with the one person who knows more about life than anybody who ever lived and has the power over death. That's why followers fish.
Breadbox Media programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.